Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Derek Gilbert will continue his look inside the world of giants, gods, and dragons. We're only a few days away from the premier event of the year, Mysteries of the Bibleverse, this Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th, in the Cincinnati area. The lineup of speakers is truly amazing. Listen to this lineup: Derek Gilbert, Rudy Landa, Michael Hoggard, Micah Van Hus, Mac Dominic, Greg Patton, Josh Davis. For a complete listing of speakers and topics, make sure you visit the events page of our website, swrc.com. Giants, UFOs, demons, dragons, secret societies, the topics your Sunday school teacher didn't talk about. Mysteries of the Bibleverse, this Friday and Saturday. Registration is open. We still have a few VIP packages available. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, and register today. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Mysteries of the Bibleverse event, June 7th and 8th in Cincinnati. Here's today's host, Micah Van Hus, with one of the Mysteries of the Bibleverse featured speakers, author Derek Gilbert.
Welcome to the program today. I am your host, Micah Van Hus. I produce Marginal Mysteries here at Southwest Radio Ministries. Yesterday, we were joined by Derek Gilbert. Derek spoke yesterday to us about giants in the Bible and why they matter. That is the topic he will be speaking on Friday at the Mysteries of the Bibleverse event this Friday, June 7th. So we are having the Mysteries of the Bibleverse June 7th and 8th in Cincinnati, Ohio. Go to marginalmysteries.com and register for that. But today, we are joined again by Derek Gilbert. How are you doing today, Derek?
Doing well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I enjoy your work immensely, and it's awesome to be able to get to know you this year through the Mysteries of the Bibleverse, through your program as well. But today, you're going to be talking about your second topic at the Mysteries of the Bibleverse. This will be Saturday evening on June 8th. This one's titled Unmasking Lucifer, the Fallen Angel More Dangerous Than Satan. So tell us about this topic.
This kind of hit me by surprise as I was researching my most recent, or my last book, The Second Coming of Saturn. A friend of ours named David W. Lowe wrote a book more than 15 years ago now called Deconstructing Lucifer. In that, he made the case that the rebel mentioned in Isaiah chapter 14, which is the very famous verse that, you know, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, that Lucifer was not Satan. And I know David's a very intelligent guy, really appreciated his previous book, and it's like, everybody knows Lucifer is Satan. Well, when I started researching for the second coming of Saturn, I came to the conclusion that David was right. We assume that Lucifer is Satan, but when you start piecing together the scriptures and the clues in the Old and New Testaments, you find that it really doesn't support that idea. And when you start looking at, this is what David did in deconstructing Lucifer, the evidence of how our modern understanding as Christians of Satan as the Lord of Hell just doesn't fit what we read in the Bible. In other words, the apostles didn't understand Satan the way we understand him today in the Christian church. These were traditions that developed in the centuries after the resurrection of Jesus. If Lucifer's not Satan, then who is he? And that was a key part of the book, The Second Coming of Saturn.
Folks may not know this. Hear you say that Lucifer may not be Satan or is not Satan. They're like, what in the world? Because that's what we've been taught. We just mentioned, right. I think it was the Catholic Church. I'm not sure, the early church. They kind of wanted a bad guy, so they kind of made this figure or fit a bunch of different beings into this figure. But am I correct that Lucifer is only mentioned in Isaiah 14? He's not mentioned anywhere else by that name in Scripture. Am I correct in that?
Correct. And he's not even really mentioned in the original Hebrew as Lucifer. It's not a proper name. Well, it's not a proper name as we understand it. It's the Roman, or the Latin rather, the Latin translation of the Hebrew, which is Hillel ben Shakar, which roughly means light bringer or light carrier. Mm-hmm. So when Jerome translated the Hebrew scriptures into Latin, he translated Hillel as looks, meaning light, and pharos, meaning to carry. you put that together and you get Lucifer, Lucifer. Mm-hmm. So that's where we get the name Lucifer. It's Latin, based on the older Hebrew name, Halel ben Shachar. But when you look at the references to Satan in the Old Testament, he's never connected. He's only mentioned actually a few times. He's only barely in the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. But that's not how Jews understood it. They understood it as, now the slanderer stood in Israel and urged David to count Israel. And the NET Bible, the New English Translation, follows the Septuagint. An adversary opposed Israel, inciting David to count how many warriors Israel had. Most of the time when Satan is in the Old Testament, it's preceded by the definite article, the. It's not Satan, it's the Satan. Yeah, ha-Satan, the Satan. In fact, this surprised me because I only learned this last year, which, you know, I should have known. It's the same in Greek. The New Testament, Satan is never a proper name. It is ho-Satanas, the Satan. It's a job title. It's a job description. Mm-hmm. The adversary, the prosecuting attorney. But over time, after the resurrection in the early church, it became a proper name, and that's how we understand it today. But in the Old Testament, not only is it a job title, job description, he's never connected to the netherworld, to Sheol. He's never connected to the Rephaim, the spirits of the giants that we discussed yesterday, spirits of the Nephilim destroyed in the flood of Noah. He's still got access to the throne room of God. We see that in Job chapters 1 and 2, a day when the sons of God, other angelic beings, come to present themselves before the Lord, and the Satan also came among them. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where he accuses the high priest in the time of Zechariah. The Lord rebukes him, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord said to the Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O the Satan. Mm-hmm. It's clunky in English, which may be why we translated it that way, but it's also because over the centuries, we have changed how we perceive Satan based on interpretations of Scripture by the early church fathers.
And I agree with you. I had studied the topic of the Satan in Job chapter 2. If Satan is actually an entity in the Old Testament, it would be the one reference you mentioned where David is told to number the people. But in all the other instances, it is a title. And for instance, the angel of the Lord is even called the adversary. David himself is called the adversary at one point. But the Masoretic translators did not translate that as Satan. They translated it because they knew it was talking about David and the angel of the Lord. So just because it says Satan, it may actually be referring to the title. Fascinating topic for sure. My question for you is going to be, who was the serpent in the garden? I'm not sure. I don't know that I have an answer. Now, the Book of Enoch says his name was Gadriel. The Book of Enoch is not inspired. I don't take that as the inspired word of God. So who do you think the serpent in the garden was?
I'm okay with the understanding that the serpent in the garden, the Nakash, was Satan. You know, I'm okay with that. It certainly is in keeping with his character of tempting, slandering, accusing. But it's possible, as you say, it's possible that it was not the entity that by the New Testament period is clearly a being of some power. I mean, Jesus in the New Testament is asked about, he's accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, which means Baal, the prince. Now, Baal was the king of the Canaanite pantheon, the storm god, who the Greeks called Zeus and the Romans called Jupiter. Same entity, different names. Jesus said, how will Satan's kingdom stand? So we learn two very interesting things there. Number one, Satan is the storm god called Baal or Zeus or Jupiter. Number two, he's got a kingdom which is not mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament. Again, just a couple of mentions in the Old Testament for sure, in Job and in Zechariah, and possibly in 1 Chronicles. But he's never connected to the netherworld, and he's just sort of he's like the district attorney accusing people of doing things they weren't supposed to do. But by the New Testament, he's got a kingdom. So is it the same entity? Very interesting. One of the interesting finds from the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran was a couple of prayers there that pray to God to deliver those who are praying to him from the Satans, plural. So, okay, the adversaries, perhaps, but did the Essenes at Qumran understand that there were more than one? Or perhaps there's been more than one throughout history? if that title, the Satan, is a job title, a job description, has there been more than one throughout history? Who knows? We don't know. Bible doesn't tell us.
I love studying this stuff, and when it comes to Lucifer, I want you to share with us your knowledge of the number of instances in Scripture where it talks about Satan standing at the right hand of God. It's a visual image that just blows our minds, but Scripture is clear. We're talking about Revelation chapter 12, I believe. He stands at the right hand of God accusing the brethren. We're talking about Zechariah chapter 1, where he's accusing Joshua, and also Jude chapter 1, verse 9, where Satan is arguing with Michael, the archangel, over the body of Moses. So what are your thoughts on Satan standing at the right hand of God?
Well, that is something I've not really looked at, and I don't know that I've not come across those particular scriptures where he is standing at the right hand of God, but he certainly has access to the throne room of God, at least until Revelation chapter 12 when he's thrown out. Certainly the confrontation with the archangel Michael and Jude is really curious because they're contending for the body of Moses, and that's in that area between Mount Nebo and Jericho, which was an area that apparently was known in the ancient world as a site of a lot of supernatural demonic activity. There are stations of the Exodus that are in that region below Mount Nebo that are called Ai HaAvarim, which means ruins of the travelers, and travelers was a term used by the Canaanites, so the spirits of the Rephaim. The neighbors of ancient Israel knew who the Rephaim were. In fact, they prayed to them. And a scholar named Amar Anus showed that the Rephaim of the Canaanites were actually the heroes of the Greeks. So the demigods like Heracles and Perseus were actually Rephaim. There's another one called Ovoth, which means spirits of the dead. So you've got this area in the vicinity of Mount Nebo where, of course, Moses got his only look at the Holy Land. And that mountain, according to the book of Deuteronomy, was referred to as this mountain of Avarim, which means travelers. So this mountain of the spirits of the giants, that's where Moses got his look at Canaan, his only view of the Holy Land. He was buried somewhere in that valley. Nobody knows where. Is it possible that Satan thought that because his demonic minions had access to that region or controlled that region, that he somehow had a legal right to the body of Moses? Don't know. The thing that's really interesting when you read the Bible carefully is that in Job, in Zechariah, and at least until Revelation 12, whenever that happens, whether that's a past historical event, there are some who believe it's a future event when he's cast down from heaven, he still has access to the throne room of God. This idea that Satan is the Lord of hell in the underworld is not supported by Scripture.
The idea of Satan walking into the throne room of God is actually an evidence, in my opinion, that the B'nai HaElohim in Genesis chapter 6 are not human. A lot of folks will claim that they're the godly line of Seth. But in Job chapter 2, as we've already talked about, the B'nai HaElohim are in heaven meeting with God, and the adversary walks among them, whether that's Satan or not. But so that brings us to Job chapter 2. Folks, you are listening to Derek Gilbert. Derek Gilbert is speaking at our upcoming Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati, Ohio, June 7th and 8th. That's less than a month away. Make sure you go online or call and reserve your tickets to hear Derek Gilbert speak. I will be speaking there on my The Earth As It Was book and my Secret Societies presentation. We'll also be hearing from Rudy Landa. He is a filmmaker. He will be speaking on Angels and Giants, a documentary that he did, as well as Nephilim and Why They Matter Today. Michael Hoggard is the UFO pastor. He will be speaking on spirit realm UFOs and sightings of the spirit realm. Greg Patton, he's a pastor in Fort Worth, and he will be speaking on the topic At War with Demons. Mac Dominic is a friend of the ministry here. Some of you know him from some of his works. He will be speaking on Jesus and the spirits of the watchers and Jesus the gatekeeper. I'm very fascinated to hear that topic. He told me a little bit about the idea of Jesus getting the keys to paradise when he goes into the abyss in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, 19, and 20. Can't wait to hear Mac Dominic speak on that. Josh Davis, he's the staff evangelist here at Southwest Radio Ministries. He will be speaking on the topic, an AI extinction level event is imminent. He talks a lot about the end time scenarios here at Southwest, and he's going to be tying it into AI here at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse. So come on out. You can register at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. You can also go to Southwest's website. That is swrc.com, swrc.com. Or you can call Southwest Radio Ministries to reserve your tickets at 800-652-1. 1144, 800-652-1144. We are still speaking with Derek Gilbert about one of his topics, Unmasking Lucifer, the Fallen Angel More Dangerous Than Satan. He will be giving that presentation Saturday night, which is June the 8th in Cincinnati, Ohio. So Derek, tell us a little bit more. I mentioned about the Jesus the Gatekeeper. I'm very fascinated with that topic. Do you know anything about when Jesus supposedly goes after he resurrects from the grave, he releases people from paradise, I think might be part of it. Do you know much about that?
That's not an aspect I've studied much. His descent into to proclaim the spirits in prison in 1 Peter 3 is really of interest. And we had the blessing to hear Dr. Michael Heiser teach on this at the Jordan River as we were baptizing people in the Jordan on our tour back in 2018. And he pointed out that the Greek word translated spirits in 1 Peter 3 is never used of human spirits unless it's specifically qualified as such. So Jesus essentially descended to Tartarus and declared victory over these entities that were imprisoned after the flood of Noah, these sons of God who in 2 Peter 2, Peter writes, were thrust down to Tartarus by God for their rebellion. Jesus went down there, declared victory. And then Peter connects that to baptism, so that when we baptize, we are essentially doing the same thing. We are declaring victory over these entities, basically saying, hey, we've got another one on the Lord's side, and oh yeah, you're still dead. The key in Revelation 9, very curious to find out more about that, so I look forward to learning more about that at the upcoming conference.
And I am too. The key in Revelation 9:1, if folks want to know where the abyss is, or if it truly is the same thing as hell, the angel of the Lord descends from heaven to the earth, and to him is given the key to the bottomless pit. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. Now, we get a couple other mysteries in Revelation chapter 9. We read about the locusts that are let loose on the earth. I talk about that one in my Secret Society's presentation. Some very fascinating stuff in, well, all of the book of Revelation, all of Scripture. But Unmasking Lucifer, the Fallen Angel, More Dangerous Than Satan. So you contend that these are two separate entities?
Right, yeah. And in fact, you mentioned Apollyon in Revelation chapter 9, or Abaddon, the destroyer. I argue in the second coming of Saturn, my book, and that's why, again, this aspect of Lucifer is so important to the book. I argue that that's who we're talking about here. We're talking about the destroyer, Abaddon, or Apollyon, who I identify as Shemiyazah, who is the leader of this Sons of God rebellion in Genesis chapter 6. Mm-hmm. This rebellion happened, and we know from Peter that they were dangerous enough that they were confined in Tartarus in chains in gloomy darkness, is how Peter describes it. Also Jude, verses 6 and 7. They're in chains in gloomy darkness until the final judgment. And of course, in Revelation 9, we see they get out for 5 months, which is exactly the amount of time that Noah's ark was on the water, according to Genesis 7 and 8.
I never put that 150 together.
150 days, yeah. 5 months. It's bookended. 5 months, Noah's ark was on the water when the children of these hybrid children of these sons of God, the Nephilim, the giants, were being destroyed in the flood. They get out at the end for 5 months exactly to torment those without the seal of God on their foreheads, which is more another clue that we're dealing with the same group of beings here. And the king of the bottomless pit, the angel of the bottomless pit, who's the king over those locust-like entities, is called the destroyer, Abaddon or Apollyon. But I wondered, okay, how is it possible that this entity who was so dangerous that God had to lock him and all of his minions up in chains in the bottomless pit for the rest of time while Satan is still roaming around? How is it possible we've conflated the two and made them the same entity? The scriptures are not there. We've also got that reference in Ezekiel 28, verse 14. You were an anointed guardian cherub. And we assume that because this is the parallel chapter to Isaiah 14, the Lucifer chapter, that we're dealing with the same entity. Now, wait a minute. In Genesis 3, he's a nakash, he's a serpent. And we know from Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10 what the cherubim look like. Four faces, you know, human, lion, eagle, ox. That doesn't sound anything at all like a serpent. But if we assume that, okay, Satan is the serpent because he's the seven-headed dragon in Revelation 12, and this other entity, Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer, is the one who's in view in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, that problem is solved. Maybe he was an anointed guardian cherub. But here's the other interesting possibility. When you go back to the Septuagint, again, the version translated into Greek by Jewish religious scholars in the 3rd century BC, they say it wasn't he wasn't the guardian cherub. He was placed with the guardian cherub on the holy mountain of God. And the cherub led you out of the middle of the fiery stones. Either way, either he wasn't the guardian cherub at all, or he was the guardian cherub, but the guardian cherub is not the serpent, because that's Satan. So who is, scholar back in the 90s, by name William R. Gallagher, wrote a paper and showed that that Hebrew name I mentioned earlier, Hillel ben Shachar, that Hillel is the West Semitic, or Hebrew, transliteration of the Akkadian name of the father god of Mesopotamia, Elil, or Enlil. And now suddenly puzzle pieces fit together,
yeah,
because
from
classical
mythology.
Era historians, right, Enlil was El, he was Dagon, he was Molech, he was Saturn, Kronos, Baal, Haman, same entity under different names. So suddenly all that fits together. So this entity, who according to the religions of Mesopotamia, the entire ancient Near East, the names change, but the rough outlines of the story are the same. According to the Mesopotamians, the sky god ruled for a while until this entity called Elil or Enlil or El or Dagon or Molech came in and took over. And in some cases, actually castrated him. The Greek version has Kronos castrating Ouranos, the sky god, with a sickle. The Hurrians and the Hittites had a similar version with their gods Anu and Kumarbi, who did the castration, but I won't get it. It gets kind of graphic. Anyway, they in turn are overthrown by the storm god, and the storm god takes the place of this grain deity at the top of the pantheon, Marduk or Baal or Teshub or Tarhunt or Zeus or Jupiter. It's the same story repeated over and over again. It's got the same origin point. The Bible just gives us the real version. No, it wasn't the Olympians going to war with the Titans and throwing them down to Tartarus. It was Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who punished these rebellious sons of God by thrusting them down into the abyss, Tartarus, whatever you want to call it, where they'd get out at the end of time for only 5 months before the end. And that is the true version of it. The other stories in these pagan religions, it's the fake news version.
That's one of the things that I love about doing Marginal Mysteries, and one of the things I like to, a point I like to push across in my presentations and my books and my videos, is there's a whole lot more truth to our mythologies than a lot of people like to give credit. Now, as you just said, they are different versions of the true version of Scripture, but there's so many things in ancient mythology that point to the Bible. We don't look at the Bible through the lens of mythology, we look at mythology through the lens of the Bible. But there's a whole lot of truth that people just don't grasp, and so it's awesome to talk about. Now, you had asked a question just a few minutes ago that I think is the question of the year for sure, and that is, why is Satan roaming the earth while Shemyaza chained up, Azazel, according to the Book of Enoch? Those are my words, not yours. But so why is Satan roaming the earth while they're locked up? That's a fascinating question. I do have a similar question for you, or a point that I'd like you to talk on. The question I have for you is, if Satan was in the garden and Satan is still roaming the earth on the physical human timeline, Shemyaza was cast into the in chains in the prison between those two events from creation to now. So why is Shemyaza? And that leads into the idea of what you're talking about, the fallen angel more dangerous than Satan. Talk to us a little bit about that for the few little bit we got left.
Well, clearly there was an existential threat to humanity and the dominion of God's creation that he had promised to the children of Adam and Eve. We were created with free will, and clearly a lot of humans wanted to collaborate with his enemy, but God saw, apparently, I'm trying to just deduce from the clues here, that there was a real risk of humanity being overrun, destroyed, by these hybrid children created by Shemyaza and Azazel and their followers, these sons of God from Genesis chapter 6. While there was a fall from the garden, and that was a long-term problem that God had to correct through the coming of Messiah, the short-term threat after Genesis 6 was that humanity would be overrun and physically destroyed, in addition to being, you know, corrupted through secret knowledge, forbidden knowledge that we weren't supposed to have. So God said, no, you've gone too far. You're going to the abyss. Satan, the accuser, appears to be allowing us to destroy ourselves by being deceived, by being, maybe not deceived, but being lured into committing these sinful acts that God has decreed, sinful. I'm just trying to deduce, because again, the Bible's not specific on these particular points, but those sons of God, back in Genesis chapter 6, clearly required God to come down and personally intervene, which he doesn't do very often. Again, we see it in Genesis 3, Genesis 6, Genesis 11, a couple of other times in history. You've got to really transgress pretty badly for God to personally intervene to stop what you're doing.
And Derek, I mean, talking to you today, I'm super excited to hear you speak. Folks, you've been listening to Derek Gilbert. He will be speaking at the Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati, Ohio on June 7th and 8th. Make sure that if you want to come hear him speak, Rudy Landa, Michael Hogger, Greg Patton, Mac Dominic, Josh Davis, myself, Mike Van Hus, that you register for that event at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com, or call Southwest Radio Ministries at 800-652-1144. Accompanied children 12 and under are free. So Derek, I'm very much looking forward to meeting you in person and listening to you speak. And I appreciate you being on the program today.
Thank you for having me. And likewise, I look forward to hearing your presentations.
In our resource spotlight today, we're highlighting Derek and Sharon Gilbert's book, Giants, Gods, and Dragons. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this book at our website, swrc.com. Giants, Gods, and Dragons by Derek and Sharon Gilbert. Exposing the fallen realm and the plot to ignite the final war of the ages. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, author Dennis Cuddy will examine conspiracy theories and reveal the plans of the elite. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.